Good morning. We have Pastor Joshua sharing 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Earlier time, we finished the 1 Corinthians. The time between two letters is short. The 2 Corinthians is written by Paul in his third journey. That time he left Ephesus, he was there for almost 3 years. And there's riots at that place and persecute him. Actually, he bring a great revival in Ephesus. When Ephesus was revived, all those silver shrines lost their business because of money, because of Judaism. They persecute Paul. So Paul has to leave this bad place. And he traveled all his way to Philippi in Macedonia. In this place, he wrote the letters to the Church of Corinth. Actually, this is the fourth letter that was given to the Church of Corinth. But in the canon, in the biblical canon, only two letters was kept. And this is the last letter that was given to the Church of Corinth by Apostle Paul. The Church of Corinth have a lot of infirmities, and they divide among themselves. And some people report the status of Corinth to Paul. So he wrote the 1 Corinthians. And later, he wrote the 2 Corinthians. Actually, the problems of Corinth was not resolved. And this letter is about the same like the 1 Corinth. The church of Corinth was still in dispute. There's no order. And the biggest problem in the 2 Corinth, is the attitudes towards Paul. They reject him. Actually, they think big about themselves. They think they are smart. So Paul said, you think you're smart, but you think yourself are smart and you think God is stupid, but actually what you think is smart, God think is stupid. You think you're gift, you think you're like angels. You think you're knowledgeable, you think you're full of wisdom. And in this place, you divide among yourselves. And you reject Paul. You are rejecting his ministry. But Paul said, the church of Corinth was built up by me. I gave birth to you. So I have authority over you. In chapter 3, it's mentioned. So it's come to chapter 5. So in chapter 5, Apostle Paul still press on about authority in the Church of Corinth. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's talk about relationship with the church. A lot of members in the Church of Corinth reject him. But he still have a heart of a father and try to discipline them. in chapter 5, there's two issues that need to be dealt with. First is the resurrection. The second is about the ministry of Paul to the Church of Corinth. His ministry, he's being rejected, being disapproved. But here he explained why he had to do this and his heart toward the Church of Corinth. He will try to win back their hearts, the Church of Corinth. So in this Bible, Paul stayed clear about his ministry. It involved the issues of resurrection. So it is difficult to give a title what this particular chapter is referring to. But one thing is Paul's ministry, about Paul's ministry. The relationship between the ministry and resurrection. So just try to give a topic, the title. It's the ministry of the New Testament. But this title was just a bit of over. But the ministry of New Testament involved two parts. First is about resurrection. It's expecting resurrection. And the second is this ministry is for reconciliation. Reconciliation to God. And it's a ministry of reconciliation and resurrection. So Paul's ministry involved these two parts. Is the ministry of the New Testament. So we read from verses 1 to 10. So it's talk about the eternal house in heaven. The ministry of Paul has to preach about this. So people expect resurrection. Verses 1. For we know that if the early tent we live in is destroyed, we will have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So please circle it. We will have a building from God, an eternal house in the heaven. Let's highlight this. He said that the earthly tent, that our body, will be destroyed. Is in when if this body is destroyed, we will receive an eternal house from God that is built by God, not by men. Verses 2, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. This body will be destroyed. But when it is destroyed, we will receive the building from God, an eternal house in heaven. This means the everlasting body, resurrected body. Verses 2, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed, instead with our heavenly dwellings. We want to receive a resurrected body. You want to have that body. If it's clothed, will not be found naked, verses 3. So when Jesus Christ come back, and you're ready, you're expecting that heavenly building. You're clothed. When Jesus come back, you'll not be found naked. For a while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Verses 4. We do not wish to be unclothed. Doesn't mean that, wow, this body is no good, we don't want it. And I give up this body. And then I corrupt this, damage this body. But instead, we willing to be clothed by our heavenly dwelling. We're preparing myself here so that I can put on the new one. That is the heavenly house that just lasts forever. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So when this earthly body died and we leave, at that time we will be resurrected. So death will be swallowed up by life. These four verses of Bible has concluded what Apostle Paul has to preach about resurrection, that hope of resurrection, and his heart, and how we live now on this earth. We are not to damage our body, but we desire for other one. We are still in this body now, but we desire for a better one. When Jesus Christ come back, we expect a better one. When we prepare well and we see the Lord, then we will not be found naked. And then to explain further, verses 5. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit. This word used here is something to be completed. God is keep working on us to establish us for this purpose. So that we will receive the eternal life. So we receive a resurrected body. So our old body will be corrupted, will be destroyed. But God will give us a resurrected body. He also gives us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, a guarantee. So this is what God plans to do. And God has done this, He do it for us, so we receive this from God. This is the will of God. He wants us to receive this heavenly house. He wants us to receive a resurrected body. So there's two confidence. Therefore, we always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. He said, we are confident because I know God will give us this house. I know now I live at home in the body, is away from the Lord. I still haven't received that eternal house. I doesn't have that resurrected body. I'm away from the Lord. but we live by faith, not by sight. I believe I will receive that house, but at this moment I have not. But we are not. The second confidence is verses 8, we are confident, I say, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We know our body will break down, but we not break it down by ourselves. We are groaning and we wait for the Lord. This body will pass, but the coming one is everlasting. I'm willing to live this body and live with the Lord. Verses 9, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. That means I want to receive this body that was given by the Lord, that was pleased to Him. No matter what circumstances I'm now, I hope I press on, try to receive what's pleased to the Lord. Because this is the work of God. God built us up and give us the Spirit as a deposit, as a guarantee, so we receive this heavenly dwelling. So whether in the body or not, I want to please the Lord. I want to receive this heavenly house. Verses 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So everyone, when we leave the world, or our bodies break down, when we face the Lord before His judgment seat, all of us have to face the judgment. But I face it boldly because I have hope. So I explain this 10 verses. But if you don't understand, it seems doesn't make sense why Paul discusses this matter in here. Why we need to have a resurrected body? And we're willing to put on clothes on this one, and here we're groaning and waiting for the other. But we cannot leave now, but we still stay here. We really long for the heavenly house, but we're still in this body. Why he mentioned this? Because the church of Corinth has a problem. They don't believe in resurrection. They believe they already have this resurrected body. So when they can speak in tongues, like speaking the languages of the angels, so they think they're already resurrected. So they think they are immortal. They don't believe there's resurrection. They think they're already angels. They think they already have a lot of knowledge. They are angels. So this caused a lot of problems. Some people believe they are angels, but this body is corruptible. So that's okay. So this body will be corrupted anyway, just let it be. So we eat those food that are sacrificed to idols, our body will be destroyed. Our bodies will corrupt. So we can go to the shrine prostitute and indulge themselves in lust. So because I believe in Christ, then I indulge myself in lust. So this body is just the way it is. So just do whatever we want. So it will not affect our spirit. And other people think that the other way. So they believe we already resurrected. So I am an angel. So reject everything on the earth. They reject their marital duty with their partner. They reject a lot of food. They think they are angels. So they can speak in tongues. They have knowledge. They can connect it to the angels. So they think they already live in this. In the last, it's the very last time of the world. So the world will come to the end. So they want to keep their so-called purity. Their status as an angel. So Paul's teachings try to address to these two kind of people. You're not angels. You corrupt. In here say, yeah, body will corrupt. But we will be resurrected and receive judgment. And here he writes an issue. Actually, we will have a resurrected body. In this tense, we will be broken down. But we're waiting for a resurrected body. At that time, the mortal will be swallowed up by life. We open the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He mentioned about what will happen at that time, the resurrection. There's two types of people. First is those who already died, already passed away. The second is those who are still on the earth. So when the trumpet was blown, what will be to these two kind of people? Those who are already gone. So they will, in verses 52, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be imperishable, and we will be changed. The dead will be resurrected. When the last trumpet was blown, the dead will be resurrected. Everyone died will be resurrected. Of course, those who unbelieve will be resurrected and be condemned. And those who believe being resurrected and who receive a reward. And for us who are still living on the earth, we will be changed. When the last trumpet was blown, when Jesus Christ come back, when you're still in the body on this earth, when you see Christ come back, your body will be changed. The dead will be resurrected, and the living, the body will be changed, and it will become imperishable. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal will with immortality. While the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So to those who are already dead, Paul says we fall asleep. And then we'll be changed. When Christ come back, when the last trumpet was blown, when the seventh trumpet was blown. The seventh angel has blown the trumpet. The dead will be resurrected. And those who live on the earth will be changed, will be transformed. And the death will be swallowed by the victory. Whose victory? The victory of Christ. The victory of Christ come back. You throw the beast in the earth, the sea, and the big red dragon, the serpent, will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Those who follow, whoever follow them, will be destroyed. And the sea and the Hades will give out the dead, and all these will be resurrected on this earth. We experience, we will be changed. When Christ comes back, we will be changed. And we will meet with Christ again. So Paul said, today we have to work hard to work for the Lord, to try to do our best. Therefore, let always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Verses 58. But Paul said, this body will be corrupted. We're now living in this tent. We're waiting for the resurrected, the everlasting house. And Paul's ministries try to correct them on this, and tell them not to indulge themselves in all the lust. Don't think it's okay for them to corrupt themselves. God will judge. To those who think they already resurrected, no, you will corrupt. You think you already get it? No, not yet. We are still waiting. We're still hoping for. We still have to wait. Now these two group of people, we have to work hard, give themselves to the work of the Lord. But Paul said, all of you reject me. I teach you, but you refuse to listen. But I'm your minister. Why I keep trying to persuade you? What is my motives? From verses 11 to verses 16, here it's talking about Paul, what he tried to show. He's trying to fulfill his ministry, his duty. Try to fulfill his duty as the ministry of the New Testament. In chapter 3, he mentioned about his the minister of the New Testament. I preach nothing. I only preach Christ. I don't preach about myself. In chapter 4, what he mentioned, why he want to do it. In verses 11, since we know that it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others what we are is plain to God. I hope this is also plain to your conscience. God will judge because God is fear. So you face judgment. I try to persuade you. In God, we are plain. We have nothing to hide from God. Because of this, I try to persuade you. To your conscience, to show you that I have no hidden agenda. I try my best on my work to persuade you. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again. But are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us. Verses 12. So that you will not be disappointed. So that you will have hope. What Christ has given us, that this hope of resurrection, we give it to you. In verses 13, if we are out of our mind, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. If you're attacking me saying that I'm crazy for the Lord. God is fearful. He gave us this ministry of New Testament, no matter what. I'll try my best on this ministry. If you say I'm crazy, yes, I am. I'm crazy for the Lord. If you said I'm not good, I'm for you. I humble myself. I'm patient. You are the king. I'm just like a slave. You're righteous. I'm naked. I'm your authority. I'm the one who gave birth to you. But I'm not asking anything from you. I would rather be hard on myself. This is for your benefit. Why have to be like this to you? Why I'm crazy for the Lord? Because the love of God compelled us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verses 14 and 15. Why have to do it this way? Because I love God. I love Christ. Because Christ died for us. He died for all. So that you may live. The love, Christ's love, compelled us. Why you keep attacking me and I still try to minister to you. Because Christ's love compelled me. From verses 11 to 15 is really good scripture, really good verses. It's Paul talking about his ministry, the deepest scripture that shows about himself. He faced such great difficulties. He tried to open up himself. Every cell leader, when you're facing your members, a lot of issues about them, even their rejection to you. Some may say they want to go to the other group. Some will say you don't love them. What do you feel? I wish everyone will have the heart of Apostle Paul. And I tell the pastor of our brand churches and to our co-workers, we need to have this heart of Apostle Paul. That is, no matter what people treat us, they look down on us, they have no regards about us, they reject us, they attack us. I still faithful to minister. To love those who attack me. If I'm crazy, I'm crazy for the Lord. If I'm in the right mind, it's for you. To do it just right. Don't do it over. I hope all our co-workers will have such heart. No matter our branches, churches, our cell leaders, or anyone, our brothers and sisters, love is a basis of our ministry. To fear the Lord, God is awesome. This is our basis of ministry. All of us will face the Lord. So today I will try and work my best on my ministry. I cannot go all the way to verses 21, the last. So talk about how Paul can live out his ministry. But I don't mention it here. But next time when there's opportunity, we come back to this chapter. I will talk about it. So bless everyone. This is the end of the message.